Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soulfulpreneur Talk Radio with your hosts, Rachel Archelaus and Megan Grandelmeyer. Merging spirituality and business on the Enlightenment Evolution Network.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to Soulfulpreneur Radio. We are live from Connecticut right now, and I am Rachel Archelaus with my lovely co-host, Megan Grandelmeyer.
Hi, Rachel.
I think it's so funny. Today we're talking about money and resistance, and even our little intro song was feeling some resistance to playing normally. So it's definitely going to be a really, really fun hour where we're going to dive deep into all things money, 3D, 5D, everything. And first, I just want to start some announcements for the network. We are part of the Enlightenment Evolution Network, and this network has a show pretty much on every day of the week and talks about mostly metaphysical topics. And they have an amazing Facebook page. You'll definitely want to check that out and like it so that you know what shows are coming up. And that is facebook.com/ Enlightenment Evolution Network. So starting off on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, there is the Enlightenment Evolution Hour with Rob Gauthier. He is the one who started this network. And every Wednesday, he will channel Trev, who will take all callers' questions. He also has special guests, such as channelers and other metaphysical teachers. And this week, he has the well-known channeler, Jeffrey Hopp. And you can find Rob on Facebook at the Enlightenment Evolution Network or at trebchanneling.com.
Awesome. That sounds like a good show for tomorrow. Thursday nights, we have Philip Malika at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And he hosts the Consciousness Evolution Hour. And on his show, he'll be discussing in depth a wide range of metaphysical topics from the perspective of the fifth dimension. And you can find Philip and the Consciousness Evolution 2.0 group on Facebook. And Phil also has a YouTube page. So if you go to YouTube and search Philip Malika, you can find him there.
Friday night, starting in July, at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, is the Earth Experience with Kalina Angel. I'm really looking forward to that. Kalina is so down to earth and really, really good at all this stuff.
Yeah, her first show, she titled it When the Shift Hits the Fan, which was cute, so that should be kind of a fun episode. Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, we have the Odyssey Ascension with Roxanne Swainhart. And you can join her for 2 hours of Blow Your Mind Ascension downloads. Be open, be ready, and just be with her while she answers your questions about past lives, ETs, soul purpose, energy activations, and all things Ascension. Roxy is a channeler and Ascension guide.
And on Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, you have Heart to Heart Talk Radio with Daniel Scranton. Join Daniel and his featured guests as they discuss such topics as the shift, ETs, global events, channeling, energy work, toning, and sound healing, and much, much more. Each show will have open phone lines for high-frequency discussions on anything and everything related to living on planet Earth and beyond. Daniel Scranton is a channel, a Reiki master, and a sound healer. And he also teaches channeling, holds regular teleclasses, and provides daily channeled messages for free to all his email subscribers. And you can get on his list at danielscranton.com. And just so you know, his show aired last night. It was fantastic, and he did some channeling from the creators. So go and check that out if you don't want to wait a whole week.
Terrific. So I think that's it for our introductions. So, resistance and money.
Yep.
This will be fun today.
Yeah.
If anyone listening live has a question, you can call in at 347 308-8788. And I believe it prompts you if you want to ask a question. I think you press 1,
yep.
And then you'll show up on our dashboard, and we'll see that you have your hand raised and you want to talk with us. And if you have an account with Blog Talk Radio and you're logged in there and listening, we've opened the chat window today. So if you want to chat live, we're going to attempt to handle that, like walking and chewing gum all at the same time.
Yeah. So... Money and entrepreneurship, really. It's such a loaded topic, and everyone seems to have their own judgment on it, and especially in the spiritual community, there are so many opposing views to if money is okay, if it's evil, if we're allowed to make money by, you know, doing our gifts and giving our gifts in the world, like, is that okay? I've seen a lot of this with clients and friends. And I've also seen what it can look like, you know, on the other side, where instead of not accepting money and being afraid of money, people who go after money and make that kind of their tool, right, their spiritual tool, and it's all about the money. So I've seen kind of the whole spectrum of this. None of it's right or wrong. It's just however you're going to play the game. So Megan and I are going to talk a lot about, you know, the different parts of the spectrum, how to take judgment out of this, some different people's view on money, like Denise Duffield Thomas. Her work is really designed around money blocks and manifesting. So we're going to talk about her free calls and program, and our favorite, really. I'm going to say that for you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Busting Loose from the Money Game by Robert Sheinfeld. That book, it opened me up. When I was reading it, it's funny. Can I say this? I know I'm talking a lot right now.
That's okay.
Okay. So I've been really actively pursuing my own evolution for as long as I can remember. And money has been a part of that. And I was in a class last summer where this book, Busting Loose from the Money Game, was on the recommended bookshelf, right, for money consciousness, for wealth consciousness. And I bought the book. And it has, like, the most ridiculous cover in the world. It's so...
cheesy?
Yeah, it's
Come
very
on.
Cheesy. And so I put the book on the shelf. I didn't read it for a couple months. And then one day, my higher self said to read it. And I normally listen. So I read it. I read it within 48 hours, the whole thing. I was reading it in bed. My boyfriend was sleeping next to me, which I never do. I never leave the light on and read. And I started seeing through walls. My vision came up full force. And I normally have it off when I'm not teaching or doing a reading or something. And so at that point, I was like, there's something to this book. It has nothing to do with money. It uses that title as a marketing ploy to get you interested. And it's really just deconstructing our holographic world and pointing us in the direction that money is just an illusion, just like everything else. There is nothing separate or special about money. It's just, you know, our bodies are not real. They're light. Computers are not real. They're light. It's all a projection, and so is money. And it really helped me take the charge out of it, make it a game, like the book suggests, and have so much more fun with money that it really did turn around my outer circumstances. So Megan, you read the book. Do you want to...
Oh, yeah. I read that book, and I remember when you were reading it, you were so excited. It was funny. We met at Starbucks, and you're like, this book, you got to check it out. So I started reading it, and I've read a ton of spiritually based books over the last few years, and surprisingly, this one was probably the most spiritual and also the most freaky for me, because I think it was the first time I'd really come across the idea that everything's a bit of a hologram, that this is all an illusion, that we're here but not here. So that book puts more into perspective a different way of looking at money, and that it's, first of all, just symbolic, and it's also, it comes from within. It's not out there. It's not like on those game shows years ago where they put you in a telephone booth type thing and had the fan going, you're grabbing at money and grab what you can, but instead you're receiving it from yourself. You're allowing it from yourself once you break down some of those blocks, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, we know that our higher self creates our whole reality. Our higher self is in charge of the hologram. Like, that's what is creating our hologram. And so if you think about it like that, that's what Megan is saying about we're giving it to ourselves. My higher self is creating the hologram that there's an orchid in front of me. And my higher self can also create the hologram that there's a stack of money in front of me. It doesn't have to make sense because none of it's really real. Our results are not really created by our earthly actions. Our results are created entirely by our higher self. And of course, we co-create that, which is where Denise comes in. Denise talks about, blocking money and how we can resist earning it. And of course, if we have those limiting beliefs or we have judgments about money, then our higher self will work with that. And it will say, okay, you want to have these limitations? Then we'll work with that. That's fine. So you can really look at this topic from any level, whether it's everything is fake, there's nothing real, so, you know, money is not real. Or you can bring it down a notch and you know, go to the people who see manifesting and money as this more tangible thing. You can really see it from any level that you want to and still have this work for you. Because there are a lot of people making great headway by using a program like Denise's, where she helps you remove money blocks by removing your limiting beliefs, your judgments and stuff, or you can go, you know, more Scheinfeldy and go to the top level and see everything as not real and do it that way. There's really no right or wrong here. It's just whatever works for you, whatever resonates with you more.
Yeah. Well, if anyone listening chooses to read Busting Loose, if you feel completely freaked out and have to put it down for a month like I did, just know you're not alone. It takes a little bit to take all that information in. I think for myself, my husband and I were talking about money not that long ago and just our situation with it. And in the end, we've always been fairly even in a way. Like, there's always been enough to pay our bills. We don't own yachts and all that. We have a mortgage like a lot of people do. But things kind of flow evenly. And I think that also is kind of our personalities were kind of fairly even keeled. It always reminded me of the Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld show. He did a great episode years ago on Jerry was always even Steven. So, you know, he lost $20 at the beginning of the episode. And at the end, he put on a jacket he hadn't worn and there was $20. So, you know, there's some truth to that. And Jerry's actually a spiritual kind of guy. And I think he perhaps was giving everybody a little hint that it's all in your attitude about it. And when you start to realize some of those limiting beliefs, like, well, I have to work really, really hard to make money, or I have to have a certain thing before I'm going to be happy, you start really looking at those things and getting rid of them. And Scheinfeld has a whole process for getting rid of those blocks, as does Denise. Yeah. It starts to flow a little better. So I know I don't micromanage money like I used to since being exposed to this.
Yeah, you've had some amazing things happen this year with regard to money, like wanting to go on that vacation and then getting the taxes.
Yep, tax money kind of, yep,
and
covered that.
And you just
that.
Got an unexpected check. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, just, was looking at certain accounts and realized, gee, I was overcharged by someone that I work with, and there was $828 that I wasn't expecting that came back. And then I also got in the mail coupons from this store that I hadn't heard of before. It's 20, 30 miles away, but they sent me $100 in coupons to go, no strings attached. There was a third thing. What was that? There were three things.
The pedicure?
Oh, yeah, and then I also saw something on Facebook. My salon that I adore was having a little promotion, and if you commented on the on the page, you could win a free pedicure, and I got that, a $55 pedicure. So all in a matter of 3 days, it was, you know, almost $900 or almost $1,000 worth of just stuff that came in. And I think that happens to me more and more now that I'm just more relaxed, like be in the mode of receiving. I think Denise talks quite a bit about that. You can probably speak to some of that, just getting used to receiving versus always working so hard and grabbing.
Yeah, especially for people with a spiritual inclination, we have this mission, right? We feel like we're here to do a job, we're here to help humanity or to evolve ourselves, and we have that outward momentum of like giving, of, you know, taking in information and then doing something with it, and we forget to just pause and kind of, you know, fit ourselves into the earth cycle. Like, the earth, of course, produces amazing things. There's plants and animals and microbes and all sorts of things that are produced from the earth, but it also receives the rain, it receives the sunshine, and we have to remember that we need to be open and receptive in order to receive the things that we're wanting to receive. And by doing that, we'll really cut our workload, because we are all working energetically on a much bigger scale than anything we could do physically. You know, we're sending out vibes to everybody. And if we had our money channel open, then it would just be a much easier existence for us and a much more lucrative and profitable one. And it just, right? Doesn't that give you like a sigh of relief? Like, it doesn't have to be so hard.
Yeah. It's not out there and I'm seeking it. So for people that are entrepreneurs, since that's really, you know, partially who we'd like to talk to today are people in business. I know a lot of the people I meet networking really struggle with how much to charge. They don't value their time. They're afraid if they ask for a little too much, if they're putting, you know, $100, $150 an hour on their time, nobody's going to hire them. I'm too expensive. And it's not valuing what they know and all the work that they put in. And so they either don't charge enough and then are working a bazillion hours for not much, or people barter too much too. They're trying to get a business off the ground and they just keep giving their work away. And I think there's a time to barter and then there's not. And I think even just the process of, if you're working with someone else and you do want to barter, choose to pay that person and then have that person pay you with cash. And you may be writing each other a check for $500 and back and forth, but I think that that's emotionally really good for you. Write the check, have them cash it, back and forth, you know, and watch the bartering. I think bartering starts to diminish our own value. What are your thoughts? Do you barter, or have you bartered?
Yeah, I definitely used to barter a lot. So I've worked in a bunch of metaphysical centers, and, you know, when I used to do readings, I would barter with the massage therapist, and we would trade services, and I still barter now with a graphic designer, and she's in one of my programs. But now it's a little different. So she paid for the main program, and I just gave her the upgrade. I don't think I would let anyone just come into the program who didn't pay me anything. I give a lot of extra for free, and I'm okay with that. But I also agree that it's good to exchange money. But I don't think that there's any right or wrong with that. I think it's just, if you're having self-worth issues, then it's good to pay each other, because then you'll feel what it feels like to receive money for your gifts. Money is just another way for us to trigger ourselves and show us where our own judgments are and where we need to integrate more and give more love. You know, because a lot of this has to do with being persecuted and, you know, burned at the stake, and we weren't allowed to charge for our gifts back in the day, and we weren't really allowed to be who we are in the mainstream world. And charging for what we do is a way to do that. It's a way to say, I'm a real business. I really have stuff to offer. And if you want to come into my world, you can pay me for it, and I will give you value in return. And that's, I think, what freaks out a lot of people. It brings up past life stuff. It brings up self-worth issues of, you know, but am I really, is it really okay to do this? Is it really okay to charge for this? And once you get beyond that, by charging and integrating those feelings and really processing out whatever comes up, then you can really do whatever you want because you're kind of over it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So what do you think about spending money on yourself? Because I think a lot of people struggle with that. You know, they maybe are more likely to spend money on their kids and not give themselves self-care money or that. Do you think that by spending a little money on yourself, you create a flow there of allowing more to come in? Or
I love spending money on myself. And I definitely feel like when I do, I always appreciate it. And I always think like, yay, I'm giving money to myself, you know, because it's all just me anyway. And when I started really doing that, every single time, more and more and more and more just came pouring back in. And it was just, it's magical and it's still happening. What do you think? Because you have a child.
So,
you know?
Right. Yes, I have a teenage daughter, so there's no lack of opportunity to spend money if you would like. But, you know, I've been raising my daughter with my husband here, but I've always been one to put myself first at times. I guess I'm just not one of those moms that totally sacrifices and is wearing sweatpants and haven't had my hair cut in forever. And that's just me. That's just who I am. And hopefully that's setting a good example for my daughter. But I think recently I definitely am allowing myself to enjoy the money that does come in, like through my business or, you know, through coupons in the mail or however, and just be a little more relaxed that there's more where that came from. So when you spend, you just can say that even at the checkout, well, there's more where that came from, instead of spending it from a perspective of fear.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. You know, when fear comes in, we're stopping the process, and fear is kind of like one of those red lights in your life where if you have fear, it's good to stop and just assess, either give yourself more love or, you know, if you're feeling called to figure out why you're in fear, then figure it out and move on. I don't like to linger in fear just because, well, A, it doesn't feel good, and I like to feel good, but B, I know that something is a little off in there, you know, and whatever way I can go about healing that part of me that's in fear, I try to do. And sometimes it's different, but it's definitely huge with money. And, you know, a lot of people are just, they're thinking with their brains about how they can make more money. And they're doing it from a place of fear. And if you think about that from the higher self perspective, that's not necessarily going to be a good way to go. Because you're not creating from a place of joy. And so even if you make more money, it's likely that it's going to go down the tubes for more fear reasons, like your car is going to break, your rent's going to go up, you're going to get fired from your job. Because wherever you create from is normally what the outcome is going to be. So, you know, it's like that treadmill, right?
Well, it's the
fear
classic,
to fear.
The classic, your thoughts create your reality. So if you're putting a lot of thought into fear and feeling lack, then you'll have more of that because that's what you're thinking about. So yeah, it's a vicious circle though, Rachel. You know, it's I think it's a bit of a leap of faith for some people because if you've grown up your whole life, maybe you grew up in a household that didn't have a lot of money coming in and things were tight. You're used to living that way. And then you grow up and you start learning about these ideas. And then somebody tells you, you can create whatever you want. There's plenty. So many people living with so little. It is a tough concept, but
yeah,
it is one where you need to pay attention to what you're thinking about every day. And notice when you're coming from a point of fear and just notice it and say, okay, that's an old way of thinking, and then switch it. And slowly but surely, I think that really starts to have an effect.
For sure. Yeah, awareness is key. You know, if we don't have awareness, then we don't even know what, like, why we're getting the results that we're getting. Yeah, I know. It's, and I think that the thoughts create things. It's really like, what are we feeling about this? You know, it's, the thoughts can create that sensation of fear, you know, and we can live in that panic mode and not even know we're in it because it's just, you know, it's so common, right? If that's like your set point for how you live everyday life and how you think about things, if that's just your point of view, then it's going to be definitely hard to make the switch. And I think that's why it would take a book or a course or immersion in some new way of being to really make that happen. Like, this show is great, and we're bringing up a lot of great things, but I doubt that anyone's going to have, like, a huge, oh, my God.
Yeah. That's it. I have the solution.
And that's okay, because these are so ingrained in us. When I was little, I would always order the chicken or the pasta off the restaurant menu when we would go out as a family. And I'm talking little, like, you know, just learn how to read little. And I would just pick the least expensive thing. And I was aware of it, and I have no idea why I did it. You know, it must have just been another lifetime where that was what I had to do. Because I grew up in a family that was, you know, like upper middle class. We always had enough. My mom rarely worked. She mostly raised us at home, me and my sister. And so money was never really an issue. And yet I had these feelings that I had to protect the family, right? That I had to save us money, that I couldn't be a burden. And it definitely came from somewhere. And I get that. I've never been one to ask for anything. And it was a really big stretch for me to go from that kind of deprivation, self-inflicted even, to loosening up, getting massages and paying for them, buying myself a necklace once in a while, like buying some new clothes. Until I was about 25, I only bought used clothes. And knowing that I wasn't a bad person for wanting things, that was huge too. Did you ever have that?
I grew up maybe in a similar way. My mom stayed at home and raised us. My dad worked. My mom was very conscious of money, and she was the investor in the family. She had more time to do that. They were conservative with their spending, and we took some nice vacations, but we didn't live lavishly or anything like that. And it was interesting just how differently my sister and I think, looked at things or money. I was more the type to go to, it used to be Caldor's at the time, that's gone, but it was kind of like Target is today, and get clothes there. I think I was a little more interested in quantity. And my sister just naturally was more interested in quality. And she'd go out and get the brand name XYZ. And so perhaps that just wasn't important to me. I don't know. But it was, it was interesting how being raised in the same house, we had, you know, a different idea of how to spend our money. But I've been kind of even Steven my whole life with it. I'd love to open up that flow more, but right now I'm just holding steady. So, yeah.
It's been my experience in the entrepreneurial path that for us spiritual type people who want to have a business, and I really don't like that spiritual type phrase, so bear with me on that. I'm not really sure how to term all of us.
I don't know how spiritual web design
well, no,
is,
not
which
even
is what
that.
I do.
It's just the word is a little old, I think. You know what I mean? I mean, web design, anything could be spiritual.
True.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know what I mean. So I found that the more on point you are, the more on purpose you are, the more of your higher self soul energy that you're bringing into your life and your business, the more money will flow, the more potential there is for that. And I'm not saying that for everyone. I know there are a lot of billionaires out there who, from the outside, may not look like they're on their purpose. So it's no, you know, we could never judge that. It's just a personal path. For personally, the more me I am, the more open and not coming from a place of fear or manipulation, I make more money without doing more work. It's like I could work less and make more money if I'm more me and just letting things flow from me. And with my clients, that's what I guide them to do, and I see the same for them. So it's almost like this: we've set up this money journey to be tied to our soul purpose so that it will help us get over all of those old beliefs and blocks and limitations, because if we don't, then we're going to feel like we're not really living our purpose, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that as I have definitely transformed big time over the last couple of years, I've been in business for 10 years doing web design, and I am just more and more authentically me, even on my own website. I think a few years ago, I had a bio picture of myself, and I call her Blazer Megan, and I am just not Blazer Megan. And so she's gone away, and even the photos of me now on my website are just more of who I am, and that results in me attracting clients that want to work with me instead of me trying to be this almost corporate, you know, I'm going to build this, you know, enterprise website for you. Okay, that's not me either. I really like working with individuals. I like becoming friends with my clients and working with them on site after site and redesigns, because they've been with me long enough that they get tired of one look and want a new one. And that's all project work, and that all brings money into my business, but it's much more fun when I'm just me, and it's just coming from that versus I should be corporate and I should be networking at places where everybody's handing out business cards and dressed in a suit. It's not me, and it doesn't work. And I think when you, even sometimes when you're starting a business and you're valuing yourself, this is how much I charge, this is what I'm going to offer, sometimes you turn down projects or clients. They don't feel right. The person just doesn't resonate with you or doesn't feel right. And it's scary to say no, but I always think, what are you going to be doing if you take a project that you don't really want, you're going against your gut feel, now you're stuck with that for 2 weeks or a month or however long it takes. What great things are you turning down because you took the thing that you didn't really want? So I'm more careful, and I'll say no sometimes when a project just isn't right or doesn't feel right, and then sure enough, a couple days later, something that is right comes along, and I can say yes. So, yeah, staying true to yourself, I think, is critical.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like we might have a question. Is that a question or a comment?
We have a question on the chat right now, and this person says, hi. Her name is Rebecca. She's loving the show. She says, I know I have money issues from this life, but can you get a sense if any of my current issues stem from any past lives? Any insight you can give me on this would be awesome. And so that'll fall to Rachel. We'll just give Rachel a moment to connect with Rebecca.
So I definitely see a few things. I see a lifetime, many, 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 many lifetimes. I think the majority of your past is spent where there is no money, and that's really not a concern. And there are a lot of starseeds probably listening who feel like they just don't really connect with money. It's not really something they care about. When they feel into money, there's really nothing there. Or it's just a joyful feeling, like it's not, they can't really get a handle on it. And I feel like that's a major part of you, where you're just not, money's just not really in your vocabulary. It's not something you've really had to deal with much. But then I also feel into a lifetime where there was like a kingdom, and you were part of the regular people. And, your money was regulated by that kingdom. You were given kind of an allowance. You couldn't keep most of your money. It was taken from you. And you felt very out of control. So it just feels to me like there's a lot of victimhood there. There's a lot of, well, it doesn't matter what I do anyway because I'll always have the same amount. And it's almost like you gave up, but it was not just a neutral give up. It was a, you're kind of mad at money. You're a little bit mad. And I would explore that feeling. So, like, my tip would be to really just take some physical money and sit with it and ask it, you know, like, to connect with you and just see, feel into your body. Do any body parts light up? Is there a chakra that lightens up or feels more dense? Can you find out how you really feel about money? And then I would go from there. You know, you're at a point now where if this is on your mind, it's opening up so that you can heal that other part of you and just give it some unconditional love and you know, ask how you can be of assistance. Do you feel anything about that, Megan? Are you have a comment?
Yeah, no, that sounds good. That's great advice for her. So, yeah, I don't have anything more to add at the moment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rebecca.
Yeah, so look at that. We can handle chat.
We can do it all.
Chat. Yeah. So that's great.
Oh, she says, thank you very much. That feels right. Yay. So glad to help.
Great, great. So, well, we do have a caller. Do we want to? Yeah. So we have someone from area code 814. So I'm going to double click here. And if you don't have a question and maybe you just press one by mistake, you can just tell us that or not say anything. But hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. My name is Jamie. And my question is, I repeatedly, I don't know how to ask this. I've been trying for quite some time to increase my income to try to get a better position, and I don't know, like the last caller, if maybe in a past life I've had issues like this before, like. I'm real positive, and I think, okay, I'm going to get this position, I'm going to get this job, and then somebody else gets the job, or they politically know somebody that helps them get the job, even though they're not qualified for it. I don't know if there's anything, maybe, if there's any suggestions you might have, or...
Yeah, so what I'm feeling right away is that... And you can let me know if this is resonant with this lifetime or if it's a different life. But I immediately got the sense that somebody would come and snatch away whatever you got as fast as you got it. So, like, just ripping it out of your hands. Like a robber would just run in and take any extra that you have or any new position that you had, you know, whatever form the abundance comes in. Does that feel good to you?
Yes.
Okay. Is that a pattern for you in this life?
Yes.
Okay. So it's just that you're not feeling comfortable to manifest that new position because you know that it's just going to get taken. Not that you're doing that on purpose, of course, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so does she need to address a fear there that obviously she deserves a new position. She can have whatever position she wants. So where is that fear that someone's going to take that from her? Is it from, you know, a sibling that was older and maybe always took the better toys? I think addressing that fear, where did that come from? And is it from this life or something else? But, yeah.
Did you have any ideas about that?
Yeah. Actually, where I'm currently working, they have me do two jobs at once, and they basically made me feel like I was going to get the job, and then they went and they gave the position to somebody else. And then he didn't even stay here long enough because he realized how they treat people here. And then he went back to his old position because I worked for state government. And so he realized that it was so poorly run and it was nothing like where he came from. And he left within 6 weeks and went back to his old job.
Wow.
So I kind of got a bad taste in my mouth ever since then. So I guess maybe that's probably where my biggest problem is. I don't know, maybe I felt like I've gotten past that, but maybe there's still lingering resentment towards that. And then I never got recognition of all the work that I did do back then, you know, doing two jobs, and I never got paid for it. It was just expected of me, and then they made me think, oh, well, that I was getting the job, and then they took him. And then they basically, I don't even think, wanted him. They just kind of gave him different job duties and brought in who the person that they want. So they kind of basically ran him out of here to bring in the person they want to make him basically qualify for the job, which he was never qualified to begin with, that's currently here.
I would just start with, where are you not appreciating yourself? And really take a look at your daily life and how you're treating yourself. Because I know it sounds like it's unrelated, but if you start changing your attitude about yourself and your standards and, you know, what you'll let into your life and your boundaries and everything, then it will be reflected in your job and in your outside world and in how people treat you. And I know that it's not like the quick fix, right? But it will happen quicker if you do that. And I don't want to get too personal, and this is, you know, it's probably from a past life anyway, but I feel like there is some, like, sexual abuse that's tied in with this and that feeling of domination, and I think that could be why this particular instance happens to be a man who came in and took the job that you were wanting, and even why there's victimization around the story about how the job was taken from you, and then he didn't even want the job because it was so bad. So I would just go and, you know, meditate on that and what kind of abuse has happened in the past, where boundaries were not even there. You know, like, how come you ended up in a job where you were doing two jobs, you know? And just feel into that yourself and create some new boundaries for yourself. Create some higher standards for how you're treating yourself and what you'll accept from people, how they talk to you, and that'll really help. And you may end up in just a different job altogether that's way more beneficial for you.
Yeah. Are you sure that the job that you're going for is something that you really want? When you're honest, or is it just that it's position and it's more money? You know, what is it about, are you excited about the new job, or is it just that it will, you know, be more money or more status? How do you feel about that? What's your motivation?
No, the places that I have went for are like places that I do want to be. You know, they're more in that sense of helping people than what I'm actually, where I'm at just sitting behind a desk all day and having limited contact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds good. So, yeah, I would try that, and then you can always let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll put you back on mute.
So if anybody else wants to call in, the number is 347-308-8788, and when you get on the phone, you can just press 1 to raise your hand to ask a question, or you can join us on Blog Talk Radio and put a question in the chat box. Yeah. So another thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that there's this money fantasy. If you're not making any money or you're not making enough money to really, you know, live and survive in a comfortable way, that when you start to make money, like, all your problems will be solved and you'll feel great and everything will kind of click into place and everything will be wonderful. And I know I definitely had that fantasy too. So I'm not putting that on anybody else. It's definitely something I've experienced. But do you have any, I mean, you said you've been pretty even, Steven. Can you relate to that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. I know we had our first house. We were living in St. Paul, Minnesota, and so excited to get the house. We'd saved money and, ends up, there's a lot of work to having a house. And so all of a sudden, just paying rent and having somebody else mow the grass and all that is changed by, oh, I have to buy a lawnmower and I have to change the oil in the lawnmower. And then, oh, this isn't siding. We have to paint this house. And so, definitely as you get more money and start spending, sometimes you start taking on more responsibility. So it's a trade-off, but what good does it do just to pile it all in a bank somewhere and not enjoy it? So, yeah.
When I was a healer for a long time, psychic, and it was just a hobby. I didn't make more than a couple $100 a month, and I wasn't aiming to, for the most part, for the beginning 5 years or so. I was happy doing that, and I had another job. And then when I really started to want that to be my full-time thing, I started learning about business, and it took a long time to really figure out how to actually make money and have it work authentically because of what I was talking about earlier about how at first I tried to be, you know, what everyone else thought I should be. And then I really had to figure out that, nope, I just got to be Rachel. And then it started to work. But as I started to make more money, I realized that I was happy living with not much. I was really good at it, actually. And then I started to get more in, and I thought of, like, all the things that I was okay not having before that quickly ate up the money that I was bringing in. So, for instance, I never had health insurance as an adult. And when I started making more money, I was like, oh, this is probably something I should have. And then, of course, it became mandatory, and so I got it. But then, you know, things with the car. I used to be more creative in fixing the car. I used to try to do things myself. And then I would just not have time, or I'd have the money and I'd just bring it to a mechanic and there would more money would go. And so it's not that having more money is good or bad. It's just that there's more options.
Mm-hmm.
And having more money doesn't necessarily fix things. It just gives you more to work with. You can have just as many problems with money as you have without money. And like in growing a business, my business used to not cost a lot of money per month to upkeep, right? I had a few services like a phone service and my web hosting, which, you know, I could run my business on $35 a month for years. And now it's a couple hundred because I have more doodads and more gadgets and, you know, I spend more on my clients now. And so it's all relative, really, you know. As I've made more, I've spent more, just like Megan was saying, mm-hmm. and there's more responsibility, which is totally
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
So I am happy and I'm more comfortable with money now, but it wasn't like a flip the switch, okay, everything's great now. It came with a learning curve for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I'm in my mid-40s now, and I definitely have started to look around and realize that, gee, I have this big house and a couple cars and, maybe this house is bigger than we actually need. And there's a lot of insurance that comes with, you know, having a house with a couple of acres, and there's snow plowing in the winter and there's lawn mowing in the summer. And I'm getting to the point where I don't want to do that myself, so I hire it out. But my husband and I have had some really honest conversations, and we are so looking forward to simplifying. that all this stuff is not making us happy, and what we'd like is less stuff that's more authentically us, that's more around our hobbies, and you know, we don't need 4 bedrooms, we need 2 or maybe 3 and a room for our hobbies and a little more time for travel and things like that. So I think sometimes you can get caught up in spending it because you have it and looking around and seeing what others are doing and losing sight of, well, wait, who am I really? And how do I want to spend my time? And it changes. Everybody changes. But right now, for sure, yeah, in my family, we're doing a big shift with how we spend what we do bring in.
I love that. Really looking at your priorities and really assessing, do I really need to spend money on this? Do I really need this, you know, fill in the blank? What do I want?
Yeah.
You know, my boyfriend and I are doing that. We're actually moving to Arizona. And a big part of the reason why we're moving there is because it just feels like such a relief. Like, it matches our priorities more. We don't have children and we love to travel. The houses are much more inexpensive down there. There's more sunshine. And so instead of stay here, stay in our, you know, the places where we're comfortable with our family and our friends and our current job locations, we're going to uproot ourselves and move out to a place that is much more uplifting, you know, and it's like a new adventure and it aligns more with what we want. And it also just happens to be less expensive, will allow us a lot more money for travel and all that other stuff. So even though money is unlimited, and right. I do tend to look at that way a lot, the fact that things were less expensive there, it did feel like a big expansion for me. So I go with the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah. So should we give people some tips on what money strategies and have worked for us?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So I am starting a class tomorrow, June 18th, called Open Your Money Channel, and we'll put a link to that on the soulfulpreneur.com page. But it's really just about what we're talking about how you can literally connect up with your higher self, remove those limitations that you've got there, and open up yourself to that money channel that is there. You are an unlimited being. You can manifest, create, align with, whatever you want to call it, anything you want. Everything is just light, right? You can create a diamond out of light. You can create a piece of dog poop out of light. It doesn't really matter to your higher self. There's no better or worse or judgment in that angle. And the more of you really become, the less room there is for that limitation and the more open that channel to abundance will be. And so I'm just taking people on a 3-week journey to open up their money channel. And we're going to go through that, the steps to align, you know, how to use frequency to get that money goal, because yes, it's nice to have the physical money. And how we're going to do that is just going to be outlined in that class. So feel free to check it out. The link will be on soulfulpreneur.com. And if you're not going to take the class, that's totally cool. Just sit down with yourself and ask yourself, how will I feel when I have the money? What will it feel like to have that money in the bank or to spend it on the vacation or the car or the whatever it is that you want it for? And then remind yourself every day that that's the feeling that will draw that circumstance to you. And so if someone calls you and offers you an opportunity and it feels the same way, then say yes. Whatever it is that's sparkly in your life that feels like that frequency, go to it. That is your path. That is what is being created for you by your higher self to get you to that circumstance, or at least to the frequency. Because it's really about the frequency. It's really not about the money. The money's nice. The money is the physical representation. But without the good frequency, it means nothing, right? It could just be that fear money that we were talking about in the beginning. So align with the frequency. Let that be your guide day to day, and your life will totally change.
That's great. I think just being self-aware all day, when you feel fearful about anything, and especially around money or paying bills, you feel that fear of, oh, I don't have enough, go ahead and just feel it. Feel the fear. Feel it until it kind of runs out of juice. And then just tell yourself that it's not real, that abundance is really your natural state. This is just a temporary thing. And that you will get past it. But just being aware of how you feel all day and trying to change that makes a huge difference, because your thoughts are creating everything. And if you're thinking a lot about lack, you're going to have lots more lack coming down the road. So that's probably my one bit, is just be self-aware. Don't lie to yourself.
Yeah.
When you're feeling bad, just acknowledge it for what it is and then turn it around as best you can. So,
yeah, so we were going to talk about Denise's money block call, which is also linked on our resources page from the soulfulpreneur.com website, and that's soulful with two L's. So what did you get out of the call that resonated with you?
Well, you know, she's so down to earth, Denise. So I love the comment about bartering, because I occasionally will do that more than I should. I loved how she talked about setting a goal for yourself. And it could be a monthly goal or a yearly goal. You know, I want to make $50,000 this year or $100,000 this year. Set that goal. Doesn't matter what the number is. It can be outrageous. You know, don't let your practical self guide that. But set some kind of goal. And then you can remind yourself of that goal by maybe incorporating that number. If it's $50,000, put it as part of your password, so that when you're, you know, logging into Facebook or you're logging into your bank account, that you have to type in, you know, $50,000. Keep reminding yourself that it's there. So I thought that was a great idea. And just to be true to yourself, to hold true to your value. And whatever number you decide, if you have a small business and you're offering a service, and this is my price for this class, people may say to you, wow, that's really expensive. And you can say, well, that's the price. And you can point them to some other resources that are free maybe. And, you know, just hold steady and understand that you will attract different people as you value yourself. Others will start valuing you. It's all a reflection.
That is so true. It's such a big thing, because a lot of people starting out will think, no one's going to pay for this. No one's going to have that kind of money to give me. But it's only because at the moment you're attracting the people who are the reflection of how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do hold steady to that number, whatever you pick, new people will come in, people who want to gladly pay you, whatever it is that you're charging. I mean, I charge now amounts that I never, ever would have conceived of even being ethical before. And it's not that they're that exorbitant. It's just that I was living in a totally different paradigm, totally different headspace about money. And now it doesn't feel like anything strange. It's just, here's what it is, and it doesn't feel weird anymore, and people are happy to pay it, and it's just part of my new reality. So that's such a good tip. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love looking at life in general now as it's all just a big reflection of what you're thinking on the inside and what you're feeling on the inside. And it's hard to do that sometimes, because you have to take the blame for everything, the good and the bad that you are perceiving in your world. But it's okay, because it's just all part of the process, and you can create better things once you're aware that it's all just a reflection. So when a problem comes up, look at it and say, what is this telling me? What is this teaching me? What have I done in the past that I keep repeating this, that this problem is showing up? So, yeah.
Yeah, and know that your past circumstances have nothing to do with your future circumstances. So if you wanted to turn things around in a day, you really could.
Absolutely. So it looks like our hour is up, and once again, it flew by. Thank you to the people who chatted online, and thank you to our caller. Really appreciate the back and forth and answering your questions. So we'll just go through our announcements for the network one more time.
Yeah, so this is the Enlightenment Evolution Network. It's a network for all things metaphysical, and we have the greatest team ever assembled for that purpose. So look for updates on the Facebook page on the Enlightenment Evolution Network, and there are shows pretty much every day of the week, and here is what is coming up.
So tomorrow night, Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have Rob Gauthier, the creator of this network that we're on Blog Talk Radio, and he will channel Treb and take callers' questions, and he actually has a guest this week, a well-known channeler, Jeffrey Hoppe, so check that out. He's apparently very, very talented.
And Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, is Philip Mollica's Consciousness Evolution Hour. And on Philip's show, he will be discussing in depth a wide range of metaphysical topics from the perspective of the fifth dimension. You can find Philip and the Consciousness Evolution 2.0 group at facebook.com/groups/SesAbe. And you can also subscribe to Philip's YouTube page by searching Philip Mollica on YouTube.
Yeah, I love that he has the Seth Abe because he's referring to Jane Roberts and the Seth material. If you haven't read that, that will knock your socks off as well. Good stuff. Friday night, starting in July at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Earth Experience with Kalina Angel. And that's a new program. She'll be joining the network in July. And her first show will be titled When the Shift Hits the Fan.
I love that, because it does. Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, is the Odyssey Ascension with Roxanne Swainhart. Join the one and only Roxanne Swainhart for 2 hours of Blow Your Mind Ascension downloads. Be open, be ready, and just be with us while we answer your questions about past lives, ETs, soul purpose, energy activations, and all things ascension. And Saturday is the solstice, so I would definitely check into that. It's going to be one heck of a show.
Great. And then Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, we have Heart to Heart Talk Radio with Daniel Scranton, who is a channel, Reiki master, and sound healer. And he has guests on most every week, and he also channels. And he talks about the shift and global events and energy work, toning and sound healing, and all things metaphysical. He always has the phone lines open, and he takes lots of callers, and he also takes questions via the chat. So it's very interactive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so thank you again. We will see you next week. Lots of love from Rachel and Megan at soulfulpreneur.com.